Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. The Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 362 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Lori Anderson. Thanks, Lori.
Thanks, Lori.
Lori, you have a good one today. We are going to be discussing part one of chapter 23 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Malfoy Manor. So make sure you get your peacocks ready and you've read that chapter. We're going to sting our way through the details today.
Oh, boy. Oh. Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or just any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
My first ever recap was Romero. I was going to say a word and I can't. And if you're a patron, you know what that joke's about.
You're so funny.
Really funny.
All right. We finished up the namesake chapter of the book. So after a visit with Xenophilius Lovegood and narrowly escaping two Death Eaters, Harry's now obsessed with the Hollows. Ron and Hermione are obsessed with the Horcruxes. So they keep traveling around, and one night, Ron is able to crack the password code to listen to Potter Watch, and they have, like, a nice little uplifting moment. It's feel good. They needed this. Oh, then Harry says Voldemort's name out loud.
Say it
out loud.
Got Twilight on those bingo cards.
Did you know that the Cullen House is a new Lego set that's coming out February 1st?
And I literally commented, why?
No, it's not. Do they sparkle?
Oh, it's like
the ad for it.
It's dumb.
That like little video they put together of it.
Yeah.
Is hilarious. They recreated scenes from the movie with the Legos, and it's so funny. They did the spider monkey scene. They did the scene where like they're playing the music in his bedroom. I can't.
Did they didn't talk to, though, did they?
Do you follow Lego on the graham cracker?
I don't know.
You should if you don't. It's very fun. No, Carrie, that will not be part of Lego night.
I think it should be. I'm going to go look at it right now.
Just ordered Legos.
I know. I should have ordered that one.
Oh, it comes with Jacob.
It does.
What?
And Bella's red truck.
Heck yeah. Is that Charlie?
Yeah.
I'll put in a note.
And all of the levels come apart so you can play with it.
Amazing.
Look at them at the piano.
Look at them cooking in the kitchen.
Music.
Look at, they even have the graduation caps.
Oh my god.
I love it. Do you think they'll have a Twilight Lego video game come out on the Switch too?
My god.
I'd play the heck out of that.
We should live stream it.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right, let's get started. So, Harry says the name out loud, right? Says Voldemort. And he's kind of in a shock because, like, Ron immediately, like, yells at him. And he sees Hermione point her wand at his face. And that can't be a very good feeling.
Right.
There's a bang and a burst of light. And he's in immediate agony. And then we find out in just a few shakes of a lamb's tail that this is a stinging jinx that she performs with an unknown incantation because she's doing nonverbal magic, which she chooses, you know, all willy-nilly to do verbal and nonverbal magic, which at this point I would feel like it should just be all nonverbal.
Yeah.
But she doesn't.
I'm sure it was a choice to do at that moment nonverbal, though, so that the people outside wouldn't hear her.
Definitely. This is a dark charm that can be used to sting the victim's flesh, producing a red brand like a scorch mark and causes swelling. So this is fun.
Ouch.
Ouchie can let's see. Did Jacob Sibling ever get singing jinx? You know what? I don't think
I
so.
hope they did.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So they're found out, right? Immediately. And they hear someone tell them to get up, and then somebody drags Harry roughly off of the ground and his wand is taken. His face is so painful that when he felt it with his hands, it wasn't like recognizable to him. It's swollen. It's like an allergic reaction has happened, and he can barely see through his eyes because they're so swollen shut. He also obviously has no glasses on at this point, so everything is blurry.
I think they did a pretty good job with the stinging jinx in the movie.
Yeah,
It
they did.
looks good.
It definitely looks good. And so he can kind of make out that there's like four or five people wrestling Ron and Hermione. And Ron is shouting at them to get off Hermione, and then Ron gets punched, and you can actually hear it.
Ooh.
Ron buckles in pain, and then Hermione's yelling at them to leave Ron alone. So automatically they're like giving each other away as like probably being in a relationship, so that's going to be used against them, you know, later
Yeah.
on for torturing purposes. And the next person, when they speak, Harry immediately knows who it is. Quote, "Your boyfriend's going to have worse than that done to him if he's on my list," said the horribly familiar, rasping voice. "Delicious girl, what a treat. I do enjoy the softness of the skin."
Ugh.
Blech.
I
Shout out to
hate
Jim
him.
Dale. And Harry's stomach turns over and he knows who this is. Who is it,
Fenrir.
everybody? Fenrir Greyback.
Guy's a piece of trash.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife. And he's our lovely werewolf friend. He's permitted to wear Death Eater robes in return for his hired savagery. But he doesn't have a dark mark. We
He's
find that out.
not fully in the club because he is a half-breed, right?
Yeah. That's a Cher song, isn't it?
I don't know.
Okay. Just throwing that out there.
Wait, Cher
In the
song?
club?
I'm pretty
Or
sure.
half breed. In the club.
Harry thought you meant half
No. It is.
I'm glad.
Janine, you're right. That is an insult to trash. Trash is better than Fenrir Greyback. I knew I remembered that from somewhere. Anywho.
In the club, we all fam.
Y'all fam. In this tent.
Y'all fam.
Y'all fam. So the snatchers are searching the tent, and Harry is thrown face down onto the ground. And they don't really care about who they have because they don't really know who they have. So I don't know how rough they would have been if, sorry, if they would have like known they had Harry Potter, and they all of them know that Harry's not to be like killed or anything like that.
That's true, but also I don't think that they would have cared so much about like roughing them up.
Or roughing them up.
Yeah. I also don't think that they would have cared about Ron and Hermione and how they treated them.
Yeah, but it would have been
However,
smart not to harm them like so much because they have information.
right, yeah,
Yeah.
that's what I was gonna say. They could definitely use it for like interrogation.
Look at us being baddies, thinking like a baddie. So they start searching the tent, and so Harry is finally like turned over, and Greyback finally starts to like look and see who they've got going on here. And he's looking at Harry and he says, quote, "I'll be needing butterbeer to wash this one down. What happened to you, ugly?"
Speak for yourself, sores on the corner of your mouth.
Seriously.
Listen,
I know
Ooh.
this isn't funny, but it's very funny to me.
I mean, you have to laugh. Otherwise, pee your pants because you're scared.
I'm telling you what, Jim Dale does a fabulous job when he reads as Greyback.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely fabulous.
I will say, I guarantee you this is going to be controversial, but I'm sorry, I don't care. Jim Dale does better voices than Stephen Fry for me.
Yes.
I
We are
agree.
currently doing a listen strictly with Stephen Fry.
just because like I want to listen to it once. And he doesn't do different voices like Jim Dale. I mean, like he does to a point, but not like Jim Dale does.
Yeah.
Like Jim Dale like puts on a performance.
He won an award. What did he win for reading the audiobooks?
Jim Dale?
Yeah.
Was
He
it
won something.
Fragile?
I don't know what the award is called
Is
though.
it a major award?
I won it.
He won two Grammys.
Yeah. What does Stephen Fry have? Not two
Probably.
Grammys.
You have two
I don't know if
Grammys?
he's got a Grammy at all, actually, though.
He has been knighted. So.
Sir Stephen.
So.
So.
Oh my God.
Sam, yes, you do need to listen to audiobooks.
Audiobooks are
Like
life.
the audiobooks of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Avi Jim Dale. All right, so Harry comes up with this story that he's been stung and his name's Vernon Dudley. And Ron is asked next who he is. And again, like kind of like an idiot, gives the name Stan Shunpike, which isn't the right name to give this group of snatchers because he's like, quote, like L you are, said the man called Scabbier. We know Stan Shunpike. He's put a bit of work our way. And then there's another loud thud. And he's hit in the face, right in the mouthpiece. A body, said Ron. And Harry can tell that Ron's mouth is full of blood. Supposed to be Barney, but he says Barty Weasley. A Weasley, rasped Greyback. So you're related to blood traitors, even if you're not a mudblood. And lastly, your pretty little friend. The relish in his voice made Harry's flesh crawl.
What? I seriously hate Greyback so much.
Also, like, he is described as smelling awful, and I just can't.
There's no rest for the wicked, nor are there baths. Do you think he cleans himself like a dog?
No, I don't even
Bad
think he does
visual. I'm
that.
so sorry, everyone.
We're gonna move on past that. A snatcher named Scabbior tells Greyback to take it easy, perhaps fearing a werewolf attack right in front of him. And only Greyback isn't transformed. So I want you to take a moment, everybody, fancy feast.
Do I have to?
And I want you to think about what that might look like.
A non
A
well transform.
non-transformed werewolf attack.
I think about like what we see with Greyback and Lavender Brown in the movie. How he's
Ugh.
like literally not transformed at all, but he is like eating her.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Like
That's why
cannibalism.
Scabbier is take it easy, take it easy.
So disgusting.
No. You might want to put a little note in there. So that's vomit worthy. We're gonna move on from that. And so they move on to Hermione, who she is. And my notes just got all nuts. Sorry. And she says that she's Penelope Clearwater. And she tells them that her blood status is half blood. And the Snatchers determine that they're all about Hogwarts age. And they probably, need to check who they are. Did these people leave? And he says, left, have you, Ginger? Said Scabbier. And you decided to go camping and you thought just for a laugh you'd use the Dark Lord's name. And then Ron still got his mouth full of blood. So he says, da laugh, said Ron. Accident. A and then they say, accident. And there's some more jeering laughter from the Snatchers here. And they say, you know who used to like using the Dark Lord's name, Weasley? Growled Greyback. The Order of the Phoenix mean anything to you? Ron tells them no. And so we officially get to find out the story behind the taboo of Voldemort's name. He says, well, they don't show the Dark Lord proper respect, so the name's been tabooed. Tabooed is also capitalized, by the way. And a few order members have been tracked that way. We'll see. Bind them up with the other two prisoners. So now we've got two more.
Do you think that that's how Ted Tonks got caught?
I don't know.
I just wonder who they mean.
The
A few
possibility.
order members have been tracked that way.
Kingsley.
They caught Kingsley?
No, Kingsley was on the run, which is why he was on Quad
Oh,
Watch.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who else. Kingsley on the run.
So someone yanks Harry up and they put him back to back with the others. And he like quietly tries to ask anyone if they have a wand still, but Hermione and Ron both say no. And he's in the middle of apologizing because he's the one who said the name. And then we get a familiar voice and we find out that the Snatchers also have Dean Thomas.
Are you not currently tied up
Yes.
with Dean Thomas?
And Dean is kind of like, they cannot find out who you are. Because they are just trying to find truants for some gold. Like, they just want some galleons. Like, they.
These are the harder hitting group of snatchers, though.
Yeah. And
Yeah, they ain't messing around.
Greyback says that they got a good haul, a mudblood, a runaway goblin, and three truants. And Scabbier then says that there's no Vernon Dudley on the list because that's, remember the name that Harry gave him. So I never really remembered this description of Greyback, but it is sickening.
Give it to me.
So, but Harry sees as Greyback crouches down beside him a quote, face covered in matted gray hair and whiskers with pointed brown teeth and
Brown.
sores at the corners of his mouth. And he smelled like dirt, sweat, and blood.
He's like a little transformed after all of this.
Yes, it's like he almost is like he permanently has some features,
Yeah.
even though it's not the full moon. And I do wonder partially though, it like I wonder if it's by choice or just by like just because of like how he is that like his body just doesn't fully untransform or something.
Do you
Or
think,
like did he like make his teeth look like that?
right?
You know?
Do you think because being a werewolf like that is dark magic in you?
Yeah.
Do you think if you like don't fight it at all, it could like
Takes over a little.
almost like, a host to the body, like almost, yeah, like take over more, become more prominent between, especially 'cause like he's more than embraced this personality.
Totally. I know, and it's interesting 'cause like we see the two complete opposites of like people as werewolves, right? We
Right.
see Remus and we see Greyback. I hate him.
Yep. Oh, okay. So, trigger warning for discussion of AIDS.
Okay.
So, it has been said that the being a werewolf
Yeah.
is supposed to be like connected in our real-time life to somebody who has AIDS.
Right.
So our chat was discussing why the sores. And so I thought about that. So I looked up maybe some symptoms of AIDS on Google, and AI came up with sores in the mouth. And then there's some other related places could be a symptom of having AIDS. So
Another connection.
there's more comparison there for you on that.
So yeah, I never, and I also just like never realized the matted gray hair and whiskers. Like I don't know. I do think that they did a really good job of portraying him in the movies, so that's kind of just always,
He was terrifying in the movies for
yeah,
sure.
what I've pictured ever since then, but so Greyback asks Harry again who he is and asks what house he was at Hogwarts, and Harry immediately says Slytherin. And Greyback is like, oh, it's funny that everyone thinks that that's the answer that we want to hear, but nobody can tell me where the common room is. But joke's on Greyback because Harry knows exactly where it is.
I love the way he says it, though.
Yeah.
It's like so off the cuff. He's
I
like, there's lots of skulls and stuff. And I'm like,
love that act,
no.
man. He says, it's in the dungeons. You enter through the wall. It's full of skulls and stuff, and it's
See?
under the lake, so the light's all green.
Like, that is such a bootleg way
That's
to
like he
describe the
saw a
common room.
picture of it
You know?
somewhere.
Right.
It's enough for Greyback, I guess.
There's like skulls and stuff, and there's snakes.
I don't have a skull or
Or
bones.
bones. So they're convinced after that, I guess. They're like, oh, okay, I guess he is Slytherin. But then they ask for like, he
He knew about the skulls,
He knew about
man.
the
And
skulls.
the stuff.
And then it's green.
So he's like, oh, well, who's your father?
God.
And Harry said he works at the ministry in the Department of Magical Accidents and Catastrophes. And by sheer luck, Scabbier thinks that there might actually be a Dudley.
Sheer dumb luck.
Sheer dumb luck.
I wonder if that's a callback to one, just because.
I hope so.
Maybe.
Or was that only in the movie?
I don't know. No, I think that was in the book. Jinx, you, me, coke.
Jinx, you, me, some cola.
I totally said it
I
before
got
you.
First.
Shut up, wife.
Listen, I'm a Hufflepuff and I value fairness.
My first time I ever got a Jinx was like,
I don't know why I speak in front of Tiffany anymore.
It's just so funny.
Just lately, all the dumb things that I do all the time have just been noticed by Tiffany lately.
I'm gonna keep my eye on you.
You have been. It's freaking me out.
I love it.
Just kidding.
It brings me joy.
So they are taking them to the ministry, which is pretty terrifying because they barely got out of the ministry in disguises with their wands. So now they don't have any of that. And they just like, they know that they're not going to have a great chance if that is where they're going to wind up. So someone inside the tent called for Greyback, and then they come out with the Sword of Gryffindor. And Greyback is like, oh, nice catch. This is goblin made. But Harry, this is so stupid. Harry says, oh, it's my father's. We borrowed it to cut firewood. The Sword of Gryffindor.
You know, this was
this
ruby
beautiful
encrusted
sword.
Gorgeous sword.
Oh my god. But then I'm assuming that like Scabbier must have found a prophet in the tent. Is that? I think that's kind of like what I was getting from, because he's like, oh, the girl and the prophet. Like, did they like find a prophet in the tent?
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
Maybe they had one on them.
But as soon as he says that, Harry's scar starts burning. And finally,
I don't know if he necessarily needs one though.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. And then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. As a mom, I totally get this. There's also perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we have to suffer through it. The good news is you don't have to suffer anymore. Yay. Because we now have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it definitely shows. And the biggest benefit is feeling like yourself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWISH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWISH for 15% off today.
Did you know it's now possible to get federally legal THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door, and you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com/swish with promo code SWISH. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find in a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code SWISH. So head to mood.com/swish, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SWISH when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Have a copy of it.
He might just have seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe
because that's who, like, their number ones are that they're looking for.
Well, no, but then they show it to Narcissa.
Oh, well, maybe
not. Don't they show a prophet to Narcissa later in the chapter or something?
I know that she recognizes Hermione because she remembers seeing her.
I think it's all just recalling it.
Yeah. But I don't remember her.
I think since they're working with undesirable number one,
that's true.
That people know their faces, because that's literally, I mean, that's who they're looking for.
Right, is the three of them.
Yeah.
So Harry Scarburns, and finally Voldemort's mind is, like, clear to him, because remember, it's been kind of, like, blurry and not in focus for a while. And he sees a towering building, jet black and forbidding. But Harry is trying to tell himself that he, like, needs to be present, because they are, like, majorly in grave danger right now, and he cannot not be in the moment right now.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that death threat? I was in the mind of your master.
Right. So Harry tries desperately to close his mind off, and then Scabbier finishes the thought and says, Hermione Granger, the mudblood who's known to be traveling with Harry Potter.
Poor Ron is, like, not even talked about.
Well, they don't think Ron is traveling.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because they think that he's sick at home with Spattergroit. He's just another Weasley.
Mm-hmm.
Another Weasley.
So like Meg said, his scar is burning. And it's described as he's making a supreme effort to stay present and not slip into Voldemort's mind. Hermione would be so proud right now.
He's really trying.
And this has to be, like, a really, really difficult time.
Now, Voldemort is going to Grindelwald's prison. What is that called? Nurmengard. That's right. Okay.
Wait, what is it?
Nurmengard.
Oh, I said Nurmengard. I had the M in the wrong spot.
Normansgard.
So Greyback crouches down in front of Hermione with the prophet. Yes, there's
the prophet. You go. You got it, one.
Telling her that the picture looks a hell of a lot like her. I could say that because it's in the book. And Hermione's like, it isn't me. It isn't. Which is basically a confession.
Pretty much.
So Greyback repeats, known to be traveling with Harry Potter. So then there's, like, this silence, right? This stillness while they're all trying to piece together, like, holy crap, do we have Harry Potter? Harry's still trying not to be in Voldemort's thoughts, because it's never been so important to be in his own right mind right now. So Greyback's like, this changes things. He comes as a crouch in front of Harry, and he sees where a scar could be, although it's all, like, stretched and misshapen right now because he's got a swollen face. And Harry yells at him not to touch it, because Greyback, of course, no respect for private space or personal bubble, and goes to touch it. And he's thinking, like, if, like, the pain is so bad, I'm gonna be sick. Like, don't touch it.
Yeah.
And then he says, I thought you wore glasses, Potter. And one of the other snatchers is like, there were glasses, I found them in the tent.
Yep.
And they, like, throw him on Harry's face, and they're all staring at him, and Greyback's, like, convinced it's him, which he's right.
It's but, like, the fact that this is the trio all falling into place is Harry thinking about the Deathly Hallows all, like, fitting and falling into place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So while they're staring at him, Harry is flitting back and forth in his mind between him and Voldemort. Like, he's really trying. So it goes from Voldemort. He was gliding around the high walls of the Black Fortress. No, he was Harry, tied up and wandless, in grave danger. Looking up to the topmost window, the highest tower, he was Harry, and they were discussing his fate in low voices. Time to fly. No, this is Patrick. So he comes back to the conversation where they're discussing where to take them. They don't want to take him to the ministry because they would take all the credit, and we know that they're here for the gold. I want the gold. Where's the gold? Give me the gold.
What? It's from that leprechaun video from a news channel.
Oh, God.
This amateur sketch. So Greyback wants to take them straight to you-know-who. And they're like, you're going to summon him right here? And he's like, no, I don't have the... No, we're going to go to Malfoy Manor because he doesn't have the dark mark. So Harry's scar hurts again. And this is Voldemort. And he said, and he rose into the night, flying straight up to the tower at the... Oh my God. Slow down, Katie. And he rose into the night, flying straight up to the window at the very top of the tower.
Straight up.
Straight up. So is it Scabier or Scabier? Either way, Scabier, it's gross. Is actually pretty smart here because he's like, we need to make sure it's him because if it isn't, we're dead. And Greyback's like, of course it is. I'm the one in charge. Blah, 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 blah. We've got Potter. We've got his wand. That's a 200,000 galleon prize. And with any luck, I'll get the girl thrown in. Ew. Vomit. So they decide to take the whole group in the hopes of getting even more money. And they disapparate all of them to Malfoy Manor. And Harry gets a glimpse into Voldemort's mind again before we close this part of the chapter. And he rose into the night, flying straight up to the window at the very top of the tower.
Dun, dun, dun.
That was a good stopping point, right?
It was.
Mm-hmm. Cliffhanger!
It's almost like no one knows what's going to happen next.
Nobody knows. All right, let's pull the questions. Gil asks, what is your favorite voice that Jim Dale does?
I love... Oh,
go ahead.
No, I mean, there's certain points throughout the book where it's just hilarity mounting, like ridiculous. I love his Dumbledore. That's what I was gonna say. But like when they're at
I love his Hagrid.
When they're at the Burrow and they're cleaning for the wedding and Molly's like tells him to clean his room, he goes, why? And it's like so dumb.
I think that I also like I like his Hermione because it's just kind of irritating.
His Hermione. Yeah,
that's
a very good Umbridge.
He does. Oh, God. He really does. He makes me hate her even more.
Yeah. She's pretty easy to hate. Did you see you could get her wand now? Universal.
I did, yeah.
And the you know how you open it up and it's got like that thin. It's
got like doily material kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. And the box is pink.
The way Jim Dale does Voldemort makes me feel like I need to take a drink of water.
Why?
Because it's like,
oh yeah,
I mean, like very sneaky. I mean, perfect.
Who? Voldemort.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's perfect, but it makes my throat feel.
Kazama asks, out of the three of you, who do you think would slip up and say Voldemort's name?
Probably me.
I was gonna guess me.
I was gonna say me.
We're all screwed.
I can't answer this.
I think do it on purpose to be annoying. And then we get caught.
You do it on purpose?
What if you didn't know?
Maybe because I would.
And then we're all dead.
Like it's not really taboo.
And in the middle of me and Tiffany going, don't even try. It's not worth it.
Yeah. This is funny. Kendra said, who would win a fight between Greyback and Jacob in the werewolf form? I'm going to say Greyback because Jacob's not a werewolf.
Shut.
He's a shapeshifter.
Accurate.
And I hate it.
Accurate.
It makes me so mad.
Accurate.
You make me ill.
I wish I could say Jacob just because, like, you know, he's not a bad guy. But Jacob doesn't have, like, the... He has his mind, so he doesn't have, like, the absolute drive to kill, whereas a true werewolf does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also, yeah, he's not a werewolf.
Greyback just seems so, like, slimy that, like, he would win, unfortunately.
And he'd probably eat him.
What if they didn't turn into wolves? Like, it could have been any animal. Why was it a wolf? Like, what if they all just turned into salmon?
It was appropriate for the climate.
I think it was something to do with the Native American, like, story behind it. It was something with...
Okay.
It was something with that.
Like the people who live there?
Yeah. Like, the tribe. There was, like, history with that specific tribe or something that...
It wasn't wolves. Bears would make sense too.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah,
I like bears.
I like bears.
I like bears.
I like turtles.
Turtles. A turtle for a turtle man.
Marguerite asks, how would you have described the common room? Silly answers only.
Which one? The Slytherin one?
Slytherin, yeah.
Like, well, skulls and
there's
stuff.
A lot of snakes. There's some snakes and some green.
It's in the dungeons and there's snakes. That's probably what it, because like everybody knows the Slytherins are in the dungeons.
Can't leave your packages around because Draco Malfoy will steal them.
Sometimes there's a troll on Halloween. One time I saw a mermaid float by.
But you know that it's in the lake?
Only one.
Oh, stop it. I did that good.
You did.
Katie K asks, how would Harry have described the Gryffindor common room?
How would what?
How would Harry have described the Gryffindor common room?
There's like these chairs.
I want to hear about like the best place on earth.
There's like a fire with chairs and it's like up high.
There's like a Quidditch trophy in there from like Harry Potter because he's the best seeker ever. there's like lions and stuff.
Arr!
All right, one more. Dusty Fur, why do you think Greyback doesn't have a mark? He's pretty loyal. Is it because he's not a pureblood or something else? I think it's just because he's a werewolf.
He's a werewolf. He's trash to them.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's nothing to them. All well, he is.
Why is he working with them then?
Because it gives him the opportunity to get what he wants.
He can go around eating people for free.
Yeah, you're right.
It's disgusting.
For free.
For free. They're just handing people out here for free.
For free.
Got this person in a drive through of my Camaro. Do you think he visits Sweeney Todd's pie shop?
For the worst pies in London?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Worst pies in London.
I mean, that is Bellatrix.
Sure is.
It is. All right, it's fan story time.
Read it to me. This comes from Heather Menez. Did I say that right? I think I did.
I think so. I have to sneeze.
Bless you.
Achoo!
Achoo!
It hurt my neck.
Oh my God.
I sneezed in a Camaro once.
Come out with you.
All right. Hello, Switch ladies. My name is Heather Menez, and I am so excited to share my Potter story. I'm a proud Gryffindor.
Woo! Go, go, Gryffindor.
My Patronus is a brown bear.
I love bears.
And my wand is large wood with a unicorn core, 11 and 3/4 inches, and surprisingly swishy flexibility.
Swish flick.
So sorry. My favorite book is a tie between Prisoner and Order, and my favorite movie is Chamber. I grew up as an avid reader, and in fall of 1999, when at my school's book fair, one of the books caught my eye. It was Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
What time? Listen to that. Fall of 1999 at the book fair.
What a time. Why are you saying it like that?
Sounds beautiful to me.
It does, though.
God.
What a time.
What a time.
Read my first classic book fair book in a Camaro.
Stop.
Please disregard. Oh. I had seen this book before and the cover looked great, so I got it. Later that day, I got in trouble for something, and at that time in my life, oh my God. In that time in my life would have my newest books taken from me because those were what I loved most, my books. Being that it wasn't my first time or last getting in trouble, I snuck my Harry Potter book back and read it when my parents weren't looking.
Is it because you played your trumpet out the window?
I honestly remember being quite confused about the first chapter. Owls and cats and some guy named Dumbledore.
Yeah.
The first part of the story I remember getting hooked was when they started classes. I remember thinking, those sound so much better than my school.
Yeah.
Next Easter, I found book 2 and 3 sitting in my Easter basket and enjoyed most of the day eating candy and reading.
That sounds great.
From then on, Harry Potter... What just happened?
Oh.
From then on, Harry Potter was a part of my life. I went to all the movies with my younger sister and dad, and then my friends too when I was older. We also got books 4 through 7 pre-ordered at the midnight releases.
Heck yeah!
In fall 2007, I started a new chapter of my life. College.
Nice.
I was at a brand new school away from all my friends and family. Harry Potter was always on my backpack for a little, always in my backpack for a little reading in between classes. In times of change, the books were always a comfort to me. I even had a Harry Potter themed bridal shower, complete with a sign in the bathroom for the Ministry of Magic and an empty table giving away free invisibility cloaks.
That's funny.
I found your podcast in May of 2020, right after the pandemic had started. I was walking daily and about to start back to work. I'm a pediatric speech therapist.
Nice.
I needed something to listen to during my walks and when I was traveling for work. I love all the jokes and funny commentary you guys provide. I also love when you talk about Ohio since I'm originally from Lorraine.
Nice.
And my whole family still live in Sheffield Lake, Avon Lake, and Lakewood areas.
Nice.
Nice.
Again, I was coming back to Harry Potter when I was having trouble. My husband and I were trying to start our family and had found out that I had some infertility issues. Your podcast was an escape from testing, monthly disappointment, heartache, treatment, discussions, trials, and extended family member insensible jokes.
Mm.
Yes, some people thought it was funny to poke fun and say things like, when are you guys going to get pregnant? You're not getting any younger. Side note, this is not this person speaking. Just think before you speak.
Don't seriously comment on anything.
Mm-hmm. Back to the story. That story has a happy ending, just like Harry's. And in December 2021, we welcomed our sweet baby Andrew into the world. As Dumbledore would say, happiness can be found in the darkest of times if one only remembers to turn on the light. Thank you, ladies, from the bottom of my heart for all you do, bringing happiness to people for many different reasons. OH!
Oh!
P.S. Attached is my now sweet boy of 4 months old with the two Harry Potter sidekicks given to us as gifts from a client who loves Harry Potter as much as I do. Then, don't scroll yet. Then we got an October 2022 update. Tonight, my boy got to pick his Hogwarts house as he is 9 3/4 months old. This mama was so excited when he picked Gryffindor. Fang and Hedwig were there to help him get sorted. I was also excited he fits in his Harry Potter shirts now. He was sporting the Dumbledore's army for his sorting tonight.
Oh my gosh.
She included pictures of him picking his little house.
Oh my gosh.
So thank you, Heather, for your story.
Thank you.
And for sharing your pictures.
I'm happy we could be there for you during all the COVID times. And also, we have that similar Harry Potter during college to kind of like be there for us, because I don't know how much I read it. I watched it constantly in my dorm room, and I listened to the music of Sorcerer's Stone like every time I would walk to a class, like literally every time I went to class.
We watched them a lot in college.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just so comforting.
She's only a year older than us because she started college in 07 and me and Kate started in 08.
And I started in 06 because I'm old.
Oh my god.
What? It's my 20-year reunion next year.
Disgusting.
Let's not talk about far behind you. Age.
I respect your mom.
Shut up, Harry. I
respected your mom. I said I respect your mom.
Heather, thank you. Who wants a dumb joke?
I do. Me?
Why are there never any class trips at Hogwarts?
Mm.
Because all the kids stayed upright.
Oh. What? Get out.
What?
Make it.
Wait, say it again.
Why are there never any class trips at Hogwarts?
Oh my God.
Because all the kids stayed upright.
Ha.
If you'd like to follow us on social media, myself and Katie are on Instagram, Blue Sky, TikTok. For now. At the Petrus family. Tiffany is on Instagram. I'm trying to convince her to get a Blue Sky.
No.
Do it.
I don't want any more things. My goal is to be less online. I would like to be off the grid. As I do this podcast that goes to multiple countries all over the world.
You can find her at tiffswish_flick. Ooh. Marguerite got bingo.
Early on, too.
Yes, very early on.
Represent.
And the House Cup standings are current. So let me pull the points.
Yeah, let's see what this looks like now.
Oh, here we go. Katie and I don't have high hopes.
Gryffindor is in first. Ravenclaw is in second. Slytherin is in third. And Hufflepuff is in fourth.
Yeah, Katie K, you finally got them.
Tiffany butt munch.
Listen, I can't text at all. So when somebody else flubs, I'm going to call them on it.
Flubs.
Oh, man.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Oh, snap. Add it.
All right.
I don't know how to add a Coke. Hold on.
You have to add one for you and me.
I know. Oh, Jinx. Okay, here we go. Jinx.
We didn't get Reebok. We got Grood.
Tiffany owes
got Grood.
Meg.
Got Grood.
Jinx. Who? Tiffany. No, Katie owes Tiffany.
Me. Mia's not here tonight.
Mia's not here, man. Mia ain't here.
All right.
Look at that. I did it. I can do it.
I would like this episode to be for a couple of things.
For Voldemort and Valor.
No. Oh, God. This is for Heather and her family.
Yes.
This is for the ramen you made, the sourdough, and praise the Lord for Kerrygold butter.
That's it.
And Carrie.
And Carrie being here.
Kerrygold.
You are golden.
She's golden.
You can't be Carrington Bear anymore. You got to be Kerrygold.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And don't let the muggles get you down.
A dollop of Carrie.
Amazing! Just my voice!